Welcome to the Technology Lab, presented by CPA Practice Advisor, with your hosts, Randy Johnston and Brian Tankersley.
I'm Randy Johnston, along with Brian Tankersley. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brian Tankersley. I've been in the profession since the early 90s, have been doing accounting technology since the late 90s on a professional basis. I've written a few hundred product reviews, and I've spoken in 48 states talking about accounting technology to CPAs.
And I am from Hutchinson, Kansas. I am so pleased to spend time with you today. I have been on the top 100 list since 2004, the top 25 list since 2011. I love to spend time in technology and with my family as well. I'm fortunate enough to have founded Network Management Group, which is a managed service provider, providing services from Boston to Honolulu. And my K2 business is how I met Brian, and it is how we've probably met many of you, producing CPE and PD in the US and Canada. We're so pleased to spend time with you on today's Technology Lab. Welcome to today's Technology Lab. Brian and I are going to talk to you about different things than normal. I'm Randy Johnston, and we have experienced the CPA Practice Advisor Accounting Influencers Symposium over 2 days in March. And over those 2 days, there were 12 sessions conducted, so about 50 people in attendance. And there were different topics that I thought it was good for you to hear as if you were a big room. Now, again, we're not going to try to give any confidences or violate any confidences there. But, again, we each had our observations in these times. Now, during the 2 days, four of the sessions that we saw were presented by various publishers to the profession. By name, that would include ADP and Zoho, and Corpay One, as well as Avalara. And each of those different sessions were trying to give insight into what the vendor offerings were, as well as some of the strategies that they wanted to ask about. And so we have recorded technology labs on those various products over time. I think it's better for the products to go back to those, although we'll talk about those a little bit. So, Brian, I would like to just maybe start off with the future of the profession idea. Now, again, both of us got to participate and there were about 50 others there, but what would you say was the observations on the profession?
Well, first off, it's an interesting group. There was a thought leader group that has been around now for over 10 years. And then there's also a 40 under 40 group. So we ended up with a pretty interesting cross-section of folks, both folks that have been around the profession for, 20, 30 years, like you and I, as well as people that are relatively new to the profession. I thought the discussion about the future in the profession was interesting because the profession is changing pretty radically. I think about, the little things I have, like this, like this plastic ruler I have in my desk, and how hard it was for me to find a ruler when I needed one when I was proofing something on paper the other day. And that really spoke to me about how much the profession really has changed in the 30 years that I've been in it, and how much more it's going to change as it goes more and more virtual and we start to use more and more offshore labor.
So that said, some of the things that were brought up were, of course, the great resignation, the personnel issues, but also some of the other observations was the stress and health conditions that many in the profession were going through. One of the observations here was that so many professionals are buried in a stream of information and data, and that many, many of us were drowning. And in fact, there was a lack of good, reliable information. I actually have thought about that. And I know this is going to maybe be a public term and maybe I shouldn't use it today. But we actually talked about how poor some of the content was. And I nicknamed it digital drivel. It turns out that so many of the pieces that are being written or recorded are not being thoughtful about it. And it became even more clear later in this session when there was a discussion about how many of the thought leaders were using contract writers instead of writing their own content. And, you know, if you think about it, Brian, we're from the school of hard knocks, or maybe as some would say, the school of fools. We basically work on these products. We work through them. We get our observations and we write this bloody content ourselves.
I have to do it or I'm not competent to talk about it. And so I spend, you know, the March is my writing, one of my big writing months. And I spend a ton of time going through products and trying to keep up with them because the things are different. And I'm, that's the thing is that you can't ship your knowledge off, your knowledge acquisition off to somebody else.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, again, I don't think it's, you know, if you're a team is better. That's why I so much appreciate the time we get to spend together, because I always learn something from you every time we talk. So I understand the value of team, but I also understand that, you know, both of us have to really learn these things because our reputation's on the line. Every time we make a recommendation in the technology lab, in email, public speaking, whatever. You know, another really interesting observation claim was that all vendors are on a money hunt. And right now, the goal is to sell at all costs. And I thought that was an interesting observation. You know, another participant talked about doom scrolling and how much manipulation there was in the content that was out there. And I thought that was really an interesting observation. So, you know, many of the younger CPAs were talking about topics and they began to realize that they were actually receiving, I'll call it filtered information. And I'll pick on one that I'm writing about in Tech Update this year with Web3. And I'd done enough legwork research on Web3. I was not completely convinced that was going to be good for the internet as a whole, the profession as a whole, and so forth, because of the private equity control of the internet, just like we have a lot of big tech control of the internet right now.
Well, and there's such a grab for data right now, and it's the confidential data that you and I have that we have fiduciary responsibilities for. And it's not happening through the simple places. You know, they're not going through and saying, I'm going to take this data in exchange, I'm going to provide you services. It's buried in the click-through stuff. And a lot of us don't even know that this is happening, but we've got to really put our shields up because the private equity folks and the venture capital firms have a different set of agendas than our profession does.
And I was really amazed at how the tone of the meeting year over year has shifted on some of this data acquisition. And another group that I participated in a few days before our recording today went off on a rant on one of our favorite publishers, Intuit, in a private session in some of the data grab that they're doing. And you and I are both pretty much on the same page on that. But I would just,
And say what you will, they are legally getting consent through the click-through.
They absolutely are legally getting consent.
So we're not, you know, they're not doing anything to my knowledge that is illegal, but it is at cross purpose with our professional obligation.
Exactly. And we're seeing the same thing in Facebook and, other providers like that, maybe a little less on LinkedIn. I don't have the knowledge to be accurate on that. But another piece that also came up was this whole idea of, you know, crowdsourcing information. And interestingly enough, the group did conclude that a lot of the crowdsourcing actually doesn't make much sense because, you know, it becomes kind of the lowest common denominator instead of the best idea. And that was pretty interesting too.
I agree there completely. It kind of reminds me of open source software. You know, there are certain applications you can get that'll work, but at the end of the day, having somebody who's responsible for it that promises that will look you in the eye and tell you that they're going to make it happen for you has a lot of value.
Yeah. And as we went over into the conferences and online events section, you know, there was a discussion about, you know, hey, won't it be great to be in person? How much will be hybrid? How much will be virtual? And, you know, something you and I have said for years, it's not so much the content of the events, it's the synchronicity of the collateral conversations you have during breaks over meals and so forth. And it's really the people, not the content. There's a little bit of examples where that's seen. But frankly, you know, the contacts are really what's happening. And interestingly enough, it was dominantly the 40 under 40, the younger CPAs, that were saying that they really needed the contacts to expand their thinking, which I thought was pretty interesting in terms of style.
But and this maps consistent with what we've said about the lenders' experiences, where they're having a hard time talking to people and having meaningful conversations at these virtual conferences, because, you know, there is a part of what you and I do is we're really facilitators for support groups for people with the same problems, you know, and we provide some value by facilitating a discussion and sharing the information we've found. But every time I speak, I get more information from the participants, and I feel like then many times I give out, because they hearing the interesting ways they're solving those challenges.
And another thing that came out of that was the groups, alliances, and so forth, which, you know, are kind of a common tribe at that point. But the problem is the tribe thinks like the tribe. So you only get limited feedback, even if you're in an alliance group. And I can name a lot of them, and a lot of them were present in the conversations. But the fact of the matter is, the filters are so strongly applied, they're not looking around and offering services or unique services. And there's one I'll talk about here in a minute. But the one closure on the conference piece was the exhibitors, because basically the observation in virtual events and hybrid events is people just don't talk to exhibitors. Now, that's no surprise to you and I, because so much of the time the exhibitors have sell, as opposed to what are your problems? Hey, I might be able to help you solve that problem a whole different way. And, you know, it is an attitude that you and I bring to the technology lab. What is it that helps clients the most? And what tools can we use to help you help your clients the most? So the filter that we've applied for some years, Brian, is, you know, what's in the best interest of the end user? What helps the firm's team the most? And then what drops the bottom line maximum dollars to the partners? But that's a whole different formula than let's sell some more licenses and so on.
Well, you know, I think this is a good start for a discussion about this event. Maybe what we need to do is to go ahead and have a second discussion about this, break this up into a couple of different episodes. And you know, because I feel like there's a lot more that happened at the event that we need to get into. And so let's pick this up on our next episode.
You know, I think that probably makes sense, Brian. And we appreciate you listening to our insights on the Accounting Influencer event, because again, what we want to do is help you understand what we believe to be the most influential thought leaders in the profession are thinking about and how they expect to help you and your clients. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll be back next week with a new edition of the Technology Lab, brought to you by CPA Practice Advisor.